Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, January 11th. Colorado lawmakers returned to the state capitol yesterday for the 71st annual legislative session. They'll tackle the usual policy issues such as transportation, healthcare, and education. But as Benta Berkland reports, they'll also be working under the cloud of sexual harassment allegations against multiple members.
Not only is the split legislature heading into an election year, Democrats and Republicans are also dealing with allegations of sexual harassment. Pending investigations are currently underway for Republican Senators Randy Baumgartner and Jack Tate, and Democratic Representative Steve Lubsock. Democrats have asked Lubsock to resign after he allegedly harassed or intimidated 11 people. Five have gone public and two have filed formal complaints. One of Lubsock's colleagues said he plans to introduce a resolution to try to expel him. Lubsock has issued a 28-page defense that he put in the mailboxes of each House member this week. And in the Senate, where Republicans hold a one-seat majority, a Senate Democrat has switched her party affiliation to unaffiliated. It's also Governor John Hickenlooper's final legislative session because he is term limited. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Gunnison sage grouse is listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. From KBUT in Crested Butte, Chad Rich reports on a newly protected swath of land for the bird's habitat.
A public-private partnership will protect habitat south of Norwood in southwest Colorado's San Miguel County for the Gunnison sage grouse. Joe Lewandowski is with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
This piece of property adjoins one of our existing state wildlife areas, and then the area is really kind of surrounded by BLM and Forest Service land. So this property is really kind of a nice linchpin in tying together tens of thousands of acres of habitat that will be helpful to not only the Gunnison sage grouse, but to mule deer and small mammals and other birds. So, you know, whenever we can protect property in an area like this, it's very helpful for all wildlife species.
The collaboration is between Parks and Wildlife, energy utility Tri-State Generation, and the Bureau of Land Management. Tri-State was rebuilding a transmission line across the Uncompahgre Plateau when Parks and Wildlife grew concerned that the line would impact the bird's habitat. To offset that, the company purchased 500 acres of land next to the Dan Noble State Wildlife Area. The newly protected area also butts up to several ranches that have conservation easements, which creates even more habitat for the threatened bird. About 1,200 Gunnison sage grouse exist in the Gunnison Basin, and it's estimated that about 240 birds are in areas now linked together in San Miguel County through a public-private partnership and other habitat protections. Chad Rich, KBUT News.
Supporters of immigrants' rights say they'll turn to Congress after the Trump administration removed temporary protected status for nearly 200,000 Salvadorans, including many that live in Colorado. Eric Galatis has the story.
El Salvador joins a list of 13 countries the administration has targeted for TPS suspensions. Jennifer Piper with the American Friends Service Committee in Colorado says more than 190,000 U.S. citizen children are at risk of being separated from their parents.
Those folks are really entwined in our communities, and not only for families, but also for business. Temporary protected status gives you a work permit, and many Salvadorans have been working at the same job for more than 10 years.
Piper notes without TPS status for people from El Salvador, Haiti, and Honduras, Colorado would lose more than $78 million annually from its GDP. Trump officials have said the situation in El Salvador has changed since the 2001 earthquake and argue the policy to protect refugees from countries afflicted by natural disasters, war, or other dangerous conditions was meant to be temporary. The move gives Congress 18 months to act on immigration policies. Piper says she's hopeful Colorado's delegation will support legislation recently introduced in the House and Senate that would create a path to citizenship. Piper adds AFSC staff have been on the ground in El Salvador since 2014, and she warns people deported back into the country are frequently targeted for criminal recruitment and face death if they refuse.
The reality is we have made a continuing commitment to people from El Salvador since 2001. And while the impacts of the earthquake have faded, the murder rate in El Salvador right now is the same death rate you would see in a war zone.
The AFSC's Colorado office will host an open forum on January 27th at Denver's Park Hill United Methodist Church. Piper says the goal is to build support for immigration policies that keep communities together instead of pulling them apart. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
A new study about the South Platte River was presented at a meeting of government officials and water managers on Tuesday. The recommendations in that report could determine the future of water storage in Colorado. H2O Radio's Jamie Sudler has more.
Colorado is sending much more water down the South Platte River to other states than it's required to do. That's according to a report by two engineering firms completed last month. The engineers concluded that in the 20 years prior to 2015, a median of almost 300,000 acre-feet of water per year was delivered to Nebraska in excess of legal obligations under the South Platte Compact. That's a lot of water, hundreds of millions of gallons, which could be stored and put to beneficial use in Colorado, according to the report. The study was presented at the South Platte Roundtable, a group primarily made up of water managers and government officials, and it raised the question of how to store that excess water. The answer to that question is politically charged, with concerns about how a new storage project could flood existing farmland and homes, as well as potentially harm endangered species and pose other environmental issues. But the report, which was ordered by the state legislature, does make conclusions about places to store the excess water, including new and existing reservoirs and even in underground aquifers. A future storage project which got one of the highest scores in the report was the Narrows Valley Dam, which would be along the South Platte near Fort Morgan. But that site was shot down decades ago by President Jimmy Carter and would probably not gain any support now. So the question of how and where to store the excess water that currently flows into Nebraska but could be put to use in Colorado was left on the table and will be the subject of much discussion around the state in the coming months. For H2O Radio in Longmont, Colorado, I'm Jamie Sudler.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.